Is social media driving you crazy? I don't mean metaphorically, I mean literally. Is being online damaging your mental health? It's not an outrageous idea. In fact, psychologist Nicholas Carderas thinks that teens and young adults who are hooked on technology are more prone to a variety of mental disorders, including anxiety and depression. Nicholas is considered a leading expert on addiction. He's a former clinical professor at Stony Brook Medicine and the founder of several treatment and recovery programs around the country. In his new book, Digital Madness: How Social Media is Driving Our Mental Health Crisis and How to Restore Our Sanity, Nicholas offers a path forward with concrete advice on how we can enjoy our technology without losing our minds.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nicholas Carderas. I'm a psychologist, author, and former clinical professor at Stony Brook Medicine. I also run treatment programs all over the country and am considered one of the country's top thought leaders on the digital age and its impact on our mental health. Several years ago, I wrote the book Glow Kids that became the primer on the adverse impacts of screens on kids. At that time, it was extremely controversial, the idea that kids' digital devices were not only habit-forming, calling it digital heroin, but also clinically, socially, developmentally, and educationally damaging. Now, 6 years later, both the society and the clinical community have caught up with that reality, as gaming disorder is an official diagnosis by the World Health Organization, and most people understand that a person can develop an unhealthy relationship with their devices and the platforms on those devices. But since writing Glow Kids, a large question haunted me and compelled me to write my new book, Digital Madness. That question is, what are the societal and mental health impacts of our tech addiction? How has our tech love affair shaped our society and impacted not only our mental health, but also shaped the way that our brains process information? Here are the five insights that I discovered. 1. Our high-tech lives have outpaced our evolutionary development. Something's gone terribly wrong. We've become a very, very sick society. While we lose ourselves in the digital masturbation of Candy Crush, Instagram, and YouTube kitty videos, we're dying in record numbers. More than 200,000 people, mostly young adults, died in the U.S. in 2019 before COVID from psychologically driven deaths of despair, which are suicide, overdose, and alcoholism. Add the record rates of loneliness, anxiety, depression, extremism, political unrest, and mass shootings, and you have the telltale signs of a society on the brink. And post-COVID, those numbers and volatile dynamics have only gotten much worse. What's happening? The answer is that humans simply aren't genetically designed for technologically driven 21st century living. We aren't meant to be sedentary, screen staring, atomized, and meaning devoid beings. The unfortunate reality is that modern life is antithetical to our hunter-gatherer psychological needs. We're hardwired for face-to-face community, genetically designed to be physically active and psychologically primed to seek meaning. But the digital age is kryptonite to those sanity-sustaining needs. We've all heard how paleo diets try to realign toxic modern eating habits with those that are more consistent with our evolutionary development as hunter-gatherers. Well, the same is true for our psychological well-being as well. Our modern way of living is out of sync with our evolutionary needs. We have research indicating that we've become increasingly mad for our devices. Our devices have been increasingly driving us mad. And this mismatch of technology and our biological evolution has also been disastrous for our physical health. According to the CDC, obesity has increased by 70% over the last 30 years for adults and a staggering 85% for children. And diabetes has also been spiking. Rates in adults have almost doubled over the last 20 years. And in teens and children under 20, type 1 diabetes has increased by an average of 2% each year from 2002 to 2012. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's happening. Sedentary, screen-obsessed kids and junk food diets don't mix well. The kids have been consuming fast foods and sugary sodas for decades. What's changed has been the seismic shift in increased screen time and its attendant decrease in physical activity. That's the new variable in the obese-diabetic equation. But this toxic tech lifestyle effect is also applicable to adults as well. The new sedentary version of Homo sapien, Homo can't get off the couch, has a soft, cushiony waistline expanding out like a freshly baked muffin top, even as our screens get flatter. Starvation used to kill millions. Now it's the pendulum swinging opposite. Obesity with its attendant heart attacks, diabetes, and high blood pressure that's killing more people than hunger. Our magical digital age has given us smarter phones, but dumber people. Indeed, there are several studies that show how our memory, cognitive acuity, and physical health and fitness all suffer from our sedentary and tech-enabled lifestyle. 2. Depression is a disease of modernity. Think about it. In the blink of an evolutionary eye, we've gone from hunter-gatherer, sped past agrarian, and leapfrogged over the industrial age and gone from steam engine to search engine. Yet, as mentioned, our DNA and our psychological, social, and emotional needs are still genetically paleo. We need community, connection, physical activity, purpose, nature, hope, all of which have been diminished or destroyed by big tech and our modern way of living. Which is why the much-heralded longevity blue zones around the world tend to cluster in societies that share less modernized pre-digital lifestyles. The Blue Zones author Dan Buettner identified certain common characteristics of societies where people tended to live longer and had a significantly higher number of centenarians. Those healthy and seemingly life-extending characteristics included regular physical activity, a sense of life purpose, stress reduction, moderate caloric intake, engagement in the spiritual practice, and an engagement in a strong family and social life. Now ask yourself this question. Do we think these characteristics are enhanced or dampened by the products and platforms made by our friends at Apple, Microsoft, Meta, Twitter, Amazon, and Google? Similarly, in separate research, Dr. Stephen Ilardi, a depression researcher at the University of Kansas, discovered that non-technological indigenous peoples were much healthier from a mental health standpoint. He discovered that there were so-called primitive cultures like the Kaluli in Papua New Guinea that had zero rates of depression. Imagine that. No iPhones, yet not a single member of the over 2,000 Kaluli who were studied showed signs of clinical depression. How is that possible? We all have the same basic genetic and neurological equipment, so how come these quote-unquote primitives seem to be immune to the modern epidemic of depression? A mental health disorder that, according to the World Health Organization, is the number one chronic and debilitating illness in the world. And yet not one member of the Kaluli was depressed. And keep in mind, they lived difficult, challenging lives where daily survival was a struggle. So how come none of them were depressed, yet we moderns have the highest rates of depression, even though we live in relative comfort and have increased the amounts of antidepressants that we've thrown at the problem by almost 400% over the last 20 years? Well, according to Dr. Lardy, our increased rates of depression are a byproduct of our modernized, industrialized, and urbanized lifestyles. Quote, we've been engineering the activity out of our lives. The levels of bright light exposure, time spent outdoors, have been declining. The average adult gets just over 6.5 hours of sleep a night. It used to be 9 hours a night. There's increasing isolation, fragmentation, the erosion of community, end quote. Thus, according to Lardy, we feel perpetually stressed. The more we learn about depression neurologically, the more we learn that it represents the brain's runaway stress response. Research is indicating that Americans are now 10 times more likely to have depressive illness than they were 60 years ago. And a recent study found that the rate of depression has more than doubled in just the past decade. All of these numbers have only increased during the isolation, quarantines, and turbocharged screen dependence that occurred during COVID. Number 3. Social media mind shaping. After writing about tech addiction and Glow Kids, I started noticing some other disconcerting trends. First, in my clinics, I started noticing more and more young clients with an inability to cope with the daily stressors of life. Many seemed very reactive, angry, lonely, empty, lacking a core identity, confused, depressed, self-medicating, and generally having difficulty thriving. And they almost all saw things in absolutes, black or white, love or hate, winners, losers. I was also seeing what was happening in our society. Political polarization, highly reactive people that seem unable to critically think. In fact, an entire generation of reactive and binary young adults that were meeting all the clinical criteria of borderline personality disorder, which is typified by emotional volatility and binary thinking. But why are these issues rapidly spreading like a contagion now, especially among young people? Certainly, we've had young people struggling as they've entered adulthood in prior generations. What's so different today? The answer? Technology and social media, which we've only become more dependent on during the pandemic. have primed young people towards increased impulsivity and fragility, making them less resilient and shaping them into polarized, non-nuanced black and white thinkers. After all, it's hard to find nuance in 144 characters, even harder still when fed algorithmic-fueled content intended to excite the lizard brain. Facebook itself is born as a binary choice of hot or not. Now it's like or unlike. As these polarities are inextricably embedded into the platform's genome and don't allow for non-binary choices. Indeed, social media platforms act as self-reinforcing sorting mechanisms that are binary in nature, sending algorithmically fueled content to the user based on their perceived preferences. Lean left, and the algorithm-fueled echo chamber feeds the user ever-increasing left-leaning content. Lean right, and the same thing happens in the opposite direction, thus widening and deepening the polarity chasm. And as digital media swallowed up our world via technology and all of its social media variants, they've also shaped the architecture and framework of how our brains think, function, and process information into inherently limiting binary sorting machines. It's a reflection of what Marshall McLuhan had famously said in the 1960s, the medium is the message, except now the medium, digital, binary, and social media, is not only the message, but also shapes the person receiving the message and impacts the way that our brains think into limited binary thought buckets that lack the breadth and complexity of what's known as spectrum thinking. 4. Digital social contagion effects. In January of 2007, a strange phenomenon occurred in Bridgend, South Wales. Young people started hanging themselves. By December of 2008, a total of 26, mostly teenagers, had taken their own lives in the small traditional Welsh community. Although rare, suicide clusters are not unheard of and are considered a classic social contagion effect, that is, any effect or behavior that's spread by social groups or shaped by media. For example, smoking is a social contagion spread by peer group and impacted by marketing campaigns. The type of suicide social contagion that occurred in Bridgend, Wales has also been called the Werther effect, named after Goethe's novel, The Sorrows of Young Werther. That novel, published in 1774, narrated the story of a young, sensitive, and passionate artist named Werther who gets involved in a tragic love triangle and ultimately commits suicide. The novel became an instant sensation, but had one other significant and lethal effect. Young men throughout Europe started to dress like Werther and commit suicide in what also became known as Werther fever. They found a deep resonance with his pain and alienation and were inspired and emboldened by this fictitious character to take their own lives. The problem became so severe that the book was banned in both Italy and Denmark in an effort to stop the spread of this suicide contagion that was seemingly caused by this provocative book. Think about that. With Werther fever, young men were being influenced to end their lives by a book and a fictitious character, no less. Now imagine the power of social media viral influencers, where followers and views are the coin of the realm in the social media hierarchy, and extreme content is what attracts that priceless human commodity, our attention. That's why it's the most over-the-top content and influencers that attract followers like moths to the lethal digital flame. And it's also why we're seeing dramatic spikes in once rare disorders like Tourette's syndrome, dissociative identity disorder, formerly known as multiple personality disorder, and borderline personality disorder, BPD. These disorders are now being injected into our collective consciousness via popular TikTok and Instagram influencers who have racked up hundreds of millions of views and have left a wake of young followers who, consciously or unconsciously, are indeed influenced as they emulate the psychiatric symptoms of their mentally unwell social media darlings. And of course, there are other lethal variants of digital social contagion effects, like school shooters and the incel movement. The 1999 Columbine shooting was the first in the digital age. Such events had been almost unheard of before then, but since then, they've become a horrible part of daily life. Even the FBI acknowledges that these are internet-fueled copycat events, classic examples of a social contagion spread and spawned on social media and hate-filled chat rooms that incite the unstable. Number 5, finally, is the antidote to the toxic social media age. The best way to immunize oneself from the viral toxic effects of social media have less to do with focusing on the toxin, social media, and more on strengthening a person's psychological immune system to become a modern-day philosopher warrior. In order to develop the grit and resilience of a Spartan and the critical thinking, curiosity, and intellect of an ancient philosopher. Here's how you do that. First, you build grit and resilience. According to psychologist Angela Duckworth, the author of Grit, we develop grit by leaning into experiences and thus allowing ourselves to make mistakes that we can learn from, and we never quit. Second, find a purpose that resonates for you. As Joseph Campbell said, find your bliss. With purpose comes passion and the clarity of one's identity and place in the world, and thus we become less likely to be sucked into influencer nonsense. Three, maintain a physical practice, healthy body, healthy mind. Whether you develop a daily walking routine, start practicing yoga, keep yourself moving. It's the best antidepressant. Four, read classical philosophy from Plato, Socrates, the Stoics, and Marcus Aurelius. Ancient wisdom has a time-tested transcendent quality that elevates a person and doesn't debase and weaken the reader like superficial tweets or posts aimed at our baser instincts. The ancients also teach us how to cultivate the sanity-sustaining skill of critical thinking. Five, help others. The modern digital world is built to create egocentric narcissism as algorithms curate a me-centric digital world. Break the pattern by focusing on helping others by volunteering or mentoring. And finally, be creative, be bored. Find opportunities to channel your creative self, draw, paint, whatever that may be. Creativity is the antidote to the conforming groupthink of social media. And when not creating, give yourself permission to be bored and to daydream. After all, boredom is the handmaiden of creativity. With all that in mind, I'd like to thank you for listening, and I hope that you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Nicholas. That was Dr. Nicholas Carderas with 5 big ideas from Digital Madness, how social media is driving our mental health crisis, and how to restore our sanity. For more on this topic, check out our book bite for Behind Their Screens, What Teens Are Facing and Adults Are Missing. I'm Caleb Bissinger. Have a great day.